If someone looked at your bookshelf, what would be three must reads that they would see right now?
Number one is Love Yourself, Like Your Life Depends on It by Kumail Rabhakant. The second would be The Memo by Minda Hart. And then the last one is my favorite of all time, which is a really short read called The Four Agreements.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Purpose Pivot. I'm excited today to sit with my friend Madhupe Rouse, who is going to have a special conversation with us, which is, and I know this because every time we have a conversation, it's special. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about who she is if you're not aware yet. And I know by the end of this conversation, you're going to continue to follow her and you're going to want to hear all the gems of wisdom that she continues to share. So, Madhupe is a powerhouse transformation executive, author, and now entrepreneur, which we'll dig into a little bit. And she has worked with some of the Fortune 500 giants that I know that you're all familiar with, like Cisco and Amazon. And she's really been a leader in helping with what I call change management when we think about transformation, illuminating the possibilities, and then getting in there to do the hard work to make change. And now she's taking that energy inward as well as she goes on her own personal journey as an entrepreneur. And I'm going to talk about the book that she just launched as an extension of her brand, Finally Free, which is a guided path for your journey to freedom. So, Madhupe, thank you so much for being on with us today.
Thank you so much, Melissa, for having me. I'm super excited about this conversation.
Yeah, so I gave the audience the highest level introduction to who you are, but maybe you can share a little bit with the audience about your career journey and some of the monumental transformations you helped make, and then how that's led you to found your own brand.
Yeah, so I started my career in the tech industry right about 20 years ago, as you mentioned, with Cisco. And through my time at Cisco, I really had an opportunity to cut my teeth on the entire organization, whether it was starting out in the sales and marketing group, later becoming, a senior change management leader, leading initiatives for an $11 billion organization pretty early on in my career, and then continuing to build a brand for myself. While at Cisco, I actually made a huge career pivot from the business and then shifting into more of culture transformation. So during this time, I launched the first ever global supply chain inclusion and transformation organization. And through that time, we had an opportunity to win awards through Gartner. So receiving that recognition from Gartner, all while doing the culture transformation work, some of it off the side of my desk for many years, but then having the opportunity to step into that role full time. While my I spent a significant amount of time there, then moved on to Amazon for 4 years, where I truly had an experience that I'll write to my children about. That's what I'll say, my grandchildren about someday. And while I was there, whether it was leading initiatives impacting girls all over the world by partnering with the Global Women in Tech organization, or helping curate Amazon's first ever Latina and Black women's leadership conference for over 600 plus executive women. And I know that through those experiences, it was truly transformational and impacted the ability for those women to continue to stay with the company longer. The last thing I'll say is one of the things that I don't necessarily put on my resume, but I'm really proud of, is the people that I had a chance to mentor, the employee resource organizations that gave me the ability to connect with people, not direct in my reporting line, but because they saw my work that I was doing, whether it was following me on LinkedIn, on social, or seeing me sometimes on TV. And that inspired them to dream bigger. And so that's some of the work that I'm super proud of.
I love that. I mean, the importance of being able to pay it forward can't be underestimated, and that, I mean, you've created so much newness in large organizations, and at that scale, that is no easy feat. You really have to have a visionary mindset. and a patient mindset, but you know, really having that visionary mindset and bringing people along on that journey with you where you could see things that were necessary and possible before they could understand that.
Yeah, it really is. And in addition to being a visionary, because I definitely am one of those big visionary leaders, like sometimes up at night and I can dream of an idea. But what's really important is when you've got good people on your team, that you can give them the idea and then they can carry it forward. And that was one of the things that I was also really proud of, is being a leader and leading teams all over the globe. And not only being an inspiration to them, learning, making mistakes. But during that time, I would say that one of the things that was most powerful is being a leader is a very selfless role, in my opinion, because in many cases, you always have to consider the impact and how your team is going to feel. How are they going to show up? And sometimes throw yourself in front of the bus to protect them. And so, you know, it's hard on a leader, but when you realize the experience that you take with you from that, it's all worth it.
Oh, for sure. It is. It is an interesting thing that you have to, like you said, you might have the idea, then you want to give them the opportunity to bring that idea to fruition. You know, you want to recognize them for that. And then you're going to, yeah, you're going to be there if you need to stand in the way, because, you know, there's bumps along the way. The more innovative you are, the more bumps you're going to have. Absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely. Along the way. Right. Well, so you've had that impact on a corporate level, and now you're having it in a different way with the launch of Finally Free, which is your own personal brand, you know, leveraging a lot what you've learned about working with brands. So can you tell us a little bit about that? Tell us about the pivot that you've had to go through this personal avenue and some of the things you talk about in your renewed mission. I'm going to quote, live freely, authentically, and with purpose.
Yes, 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 yes. So the launch of Finally Free was truly born out of a deep desire to connect with myself in a way that I had never connected with myself. And Melissa, you probably know this. We just talked about the impact of being a leader, but then there's the dark side of being a single figure, whether it's you're in a highly visible, highly impactful role where failure is not something that is smiled upon. You know, we would often see that clip from Will Smith where he would say, if you're going to fail, fail fast.
Yes.
Well, that works. What,
I mean, those are great words.
Great words, but unfortunately, it doesn't come with consequence, right? It does not come without consequence. And so Finally Free, you know, I had the idea early last year. And this was coming to a point where I knew my role would be coming to an end at Amazon. And during that time, and it's so funny because that was one of those moments that was actually a very crucible moment in my life. There have been many, but that one really defined how I viewed myself personally and professionally. And I didn't realize it until I got that call that my role was being eliminated. And throughout that time, I sat for a second, and one quick nugget was, I never learned that it's healthy to take time off. Hmm. And so when this happened, I was pushed into this space where I could easily go back and hit the cycle of looking for a new opportunity immediately. Mm-hmm. But what I did was I decided to spend time with myself, almost like that eat, pray, love journey. Yes,
which
right?
can never be underestimated.
Never be underestimated. And during that time, I started to think about ownership differently. I also started to think about being in love with myself, because sometimes the paper cuts can be so much that you look up and you've judged every aspect of yourself, whether it's how you dress, how you show up. I learned that I started to shrink a bit. I'm 5'10". And you realize that you get in rooms and maybe you're shrinking just a little bit more physically, and you don't realize it because it's actually starting to make you think something different about yourself.
Isn't that
inside
something that, I don't know how many men do it, but I will speak from a women's standpoint, that you do, you feel for the comfort of others, you have to shrink. But over time, that has an impact to your mental state as well.
It was, and that's what happened to me. It started to, it was like a shedding. Like, you ever see that where it's like someone's trying to rip something off and they're struggling to get it off, and then finally they just burst free. And that's what finally free was for me. It was truly finding a way to connect with who I was as a woman, who I am becoming as a human being, what space am I taking up here in this world, and more importantly, what's my coping mechanisms to drown the noise when the noise just gets too freaking loud? And so when I started to work on Finally Free and launched the brand, I took into account all of my experiences. And so when you think about, you reach a certain level in your career, you're traveling all over the world, and what becomes important is your comfort during that travel. And I started to thinking about like, okay, I can't stand to be without my blanket, mm-hmm. but I don't want to carry a blanket everywhere.
I just bought one at the airport for my cross-country trip. I just want to tell you that.
You can't, because guess what? You could take the chance and not buy the blanket, and now you're freezing on the plane, right? For a 4-hour flight. And so I built the comfort and coziness into the hoodie. So the inside of the hoodies are micro suede, and then they also are extended. I don't always want to talk when I get on the plane. Sometimes I just want to be with myself, drown out the noise, put on my headphones, listen to a book, podcast, etc., or some hip hop, right? Depending on where I am in the day, and just drown out. And so in addition to that, I also thought about things through the lens of versatility. When I get off the plane, if I need to move quick and jump into a meeting, go from day to night, I thought about all of those things in the design of the pants. And so as we're expanding the collection to things that can have that level of versatility, whether it's daytime, tonight, I'm still a girl's girl, so I love to feel chic and pretty, but also want to be comfortable at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I'll close it up, just this part out with this. But also during that time, I remember talking to someone and I was telling him about my Finally Free journey. And the same way I just said to you that when the negative noise is too loud, it starts to show up on you on the outside. But when the positive noise is really loud, that also shows up. And people would constantly say to me, like, girl, what are you doing? Like, you are glowing. Right. And the more and more I started to think about it, I took a step back to think through, well, how did I get here? And that's where I created the Finally Free framework. Again, thinking about someone like myself, I'm a headway, 140 character type of person. I need it now. I want it to be quick, easily digestible. And so the framework is 4 steps. Own it, accept it, reframe it, and then celebrate it. And so I know we'll talk a little bit more about it, but it was literally me continuing to take that time to connect with myself internally so that it shows up on the outside everywhere I go.
Yeah. And I love the celebrate it, because I think that that is so underestimated. I think we go, 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 especially if you're a driven person, which you are, which I am, right? And so it's always like the next thing. And like, you might acknowledge it for a millisecond that you got there, but then you're always thinking about the next thing. And taking the pause to celebrate is so important.
So important. It's so important. I can't spend enough time on that piece, because to your point, how many times have you gotten that email you were waiting for, mm-hmm. or you finally got that job that you were like, please, I hope they hire me. And you are like, okay, now I got to get ready.
Right.
I got to get ready for the job. I got to get ready for whatever it is that's coming, versus just taking a minute to say, in this moment, I'm actually not only going to celebrate it, but I'm going to give it sound. I might give it movement. I am going to be present in the moment. This time period has helped me with that, mm-hmm. being present and celebrating the wins. Still thinking about, sometimes fear creeps up about this journey to, an entrepreneurship. Like, what is next?
What is next? I know. Well, here I'm going to shout out a mutual friend we have, and maybe she'll hear this episode, but that's where I'm going to shout out Nakia McLean, because girl knows how to celebrate herself.
Oh, yes, you did. Yes.
Right? We just
It's almost
celebrated
like
her getting her
you.
doctorate. And I was like, you know what? You know, I might not do it as often. But if I could take a step to do it like a fraction of what she does, it's just so important. It's just so important. And you realize how much of your friends and your family will rally around you in those moments too. And that keeps you going in a special way.
It keeps you going. It's one of those moments, and I'm so glad you used Nakia as an example, because that celebration that we attended to celebrate her getting her PhD is literally her energy every day, all day. Every day, all day. She celebrates herself, but she also celebrates her friends and uplifts her friends. And I have learned to be that way, even if it's here in this house by myself. I'm not an empty nester, but in just some of my, life experiences here, I have more time to myself. And one of the things my therapist said to me, he was like, "When have you ever lived for you?" And that's where I am right now, is the living for me. I'll tell you one other thing about the celebration piece is the word delusion has come up quite a bit in therapy. And being in a state of delusion on whether or not you were coping through something, and then you believed, "Oh, but it's fine." But meanwhile, you're actually pretty delusional about it, not in a negative way, but just you've started to cope with something that really wasn't what the reality was. And so for me, when he asked me that question, he said, "You probably don't realize you no longer have to operate in any delusional state." And that's like a truth moment, Melissa, because think about everywhere I show up, I can show up as myself. Every conversation I have is going to be genuine, authentic, and it's not going to be something that it doesn't serve me, because I'm here for a good time, and I'm hopefully here for a long time.
So we talked about celebrating and we talked about some of the transformation you're kind of having in your conversations. And I think that leads a little bit to a conversation we had, because of course you're in my book and such a powerful contributor. And one of the things, I'm going to read it word for word of what's in the book. You say, "I was once asked, if I write my obituary, what would I want it to say? And you said, my response, legacy, impact, and inspiration." And you also shared three things, that have contained you in the past. And I'm also going to read them. So if you see me reading on screen, that's what I'm doing. One, the belief that success must follow a singular predefined path, which many people think that it's just linear up and it's not. Two, the notion that success must mirror someone else's to be valid, which is a huge one I think we put on ourselves. And three, the pressure to equate busyness with value and progress. And I think that goes back to what we just talked about pausing and celebrating and having that moment. So can you share, you've identified these things, but how have you shed these outdated beliefs? And is the launch of your brand, how does that live adjacent to not only shedding it for yourself, but helping others do so as well?
Yeah, and you might have to help me with remembering them as I start talking, but I'm going to start with the one about that success has to follow a specific linear path. I was just having this conversation with another young woman last week. And in the conversation, she was saying, "What are your thoughts on me only promoting one thing that I can do?" She's a brand expert. She's also a real estate agent, and she's done modeling in the past. And someone told her, "Only promote one thing, because you don't want to seem like you do too many things." And I said to her, I said, "But if you're good at all of those things, why wouldn't you promote them?" And I said, "Why not just think about how you position those things in terms of your brand, right? Maybe these are the suite of offerings that you have, right? It's the portfolio." And so I think that's one mindset, right? Someone told me it had to be this way. Or I'll use myself for example. I went to school for communications and communication studies. And I started my career in sales and marketing. And then while I was at the company that I was with, I had an opportunity to be to hear from various senior executives in the company. And they would say, this is your playground. Mm-hmm. You can grow and create a career just within the walls of this company. Don't feel bound to the role that you started here in. And I actually took that to heart. You know why? Because I completely am that person. Once I hit about year three in a role, I started to get that itch, like, what's next? Right. And so when I heard that, it made me think, okay, well, let me build relationships. I'm going to get involved with the culture of the company through employee resource organizations, all while doing this job of being a sales account manager, partner account manager, and continuing to grow. So starting over here, networking and building relationships in another organization. So now I'm courted for a role in this organization that wouldn't necessarily follow the path of someone who starts in sales and marketing and follows a career all the way up the path to becoming a senior executive in sales, a senior executive in marketing. So that was that one thing of, you know, you meet people, and because I've been in the tech industry for, you know, almost 20 years, there's also that mentality that only engineering type of roles matter in the tech industry. Mm. But it's not true. No. Because there's a whole group of individuals and roles that make the technology successful, not just the engineers, but it's the marketers, right? It's the storytellers mm-hmm. that can truly bring the technology to life. And I've just always had this mindset is I'm not an engineer, but I know how to think like an engineer. And so that's that piece. I can't remember the second one.
Oh, yes, I have my notes. I'm going to go back to my notes. The second is the notion that your success must follow someone else's to be valid.
Yes. Oh my goodness. And I wonder how many women actually experience this. Mm-hmm. We all have this desire to be mentored. Mm-hmm. And, or, you know, as we know, there's a difference between a mentor and a sponsor, right? The sponsors advocate for you when you're not in the room. And I think that I had to learn, you know, feedback is great, but not all feedback requires action.
Mm-hmm. And that's so an important note, taking that down.
Exactly, right? Because think about, you can go have a conversation with someone that you admire and you're just like, oh my gosh, they're so successful. They've done all the things in their career that I want to. And then you meet them and it's the worst person you've ever met in your life.
Right? No names, no, but yes.
you literally, and I've had that experience where there were people I admired. I started to follow their path.
Yeah.
And then I realized they didn't have the respect of others. They charted a path for themselves, but some of it was based on their own experience. So that piece of trying to mirror someone else's career, unless you've been cloned to be that person, how can you have the exact same career as someone else? It's going to be influenced by your life, your own experiences, your career journey, your educational experiences, your network. And so that's where, you know, having a mentor is important, but also being able to trust yourself, trust your gut, and know that, you know, and this is something I'm learning in this piece of being an entrepreneur. Everyone has, you know, feedback on what you should do, how you should do it.
Right.
You should offer discounts. You should target this group. You should this. But I'm like, it takes me away from the vision and the mission and the purpose.
Yeah.
And so trusting yourself foundationally is where I think it makes a difference in not believing you have to have the same career as someone else. Now, this last one, I remember this one because I remember the day I had this aha moment. And it was shortly after I, you know, just left Amazon. And I had all of these 30-minute meetings on my calendar, starts at 10 a.m. and can go all the way to 9 p.m. Then you look up and you're like, I had all those meetings and what did I accomplish in a day? Oh,
this is my time all the time. Not now, because this is very valuable, but this is the trap, is that you think you're booked, you're being productive, but then when's the work happening?
And does the work happen? And you've got your, and think about, I wonder if you are guilty of this. I would be guilty of, my team and I, we've got to meet. we've got to come together. And then I'm texting them on the side. I'm sending them the instant messenger, the instant messages. And then in the evening time, as soon as the call done, I'm calling my favorite person on the team to debrief. And you look up and it's like, I'm not only giving them an opportunity to get the work done, but I'm also maybe taking away from some of the personal time that they have with their families. And so when I realized that I could have 3 super productive meetings in a day, or hell, in a week, and get more accomplished in those 3 meetings than I could in a month of having a calendar full of meetings every day. When I realized that, I started to give myself the grace of not feeling like a failure for not being so busy all day.
Because you're valuing impact over, just busyness. And it is easy to get in that trap, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're an executive, you think if I go, 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 then that means something. But then you do have to be disciplined to take stock and go back and be like, well, what did we achieve in that week, in that month, in that quarter? And that's the measurable aspect of it.
Yeah. I'll give you one other little nugget that I think hopefully this will resonate with someone. I had an executive coach and her name was Gabby. And she said to me, there's a difference in being prepared and being ready. You prepare for the meeting. You do all the things to get prepared for the meeting, but it doesn't mean you're ready. Being ready is being focused on your impact, walking in the room and remembering, why am I doing this work? Why am I here? What do I need to accomplish? Not about the busyness and being prepared, but always remembering your intention and your impact that you had hoped to achieve.
And I really like that too, because I've had people come up to me and they'll say, I get nervous before I'm going to present, or I'm going to do this. How do you work past that? And I still get nervous sometimes, we all do. But I say to them, right, well, think about what you're sharing. Think about, the 1 or 2 nuggets you're allowing somebody to walk out of the room with based on what you shared. And I think that goes back to a little bit of what you're saying, because it's the impact you're having in the room. It's not memorizing every single word and all this other stuff, right? It's like, what are you delivering? Well, speaking about delivering, we're going to go back to your book. Because you're delivering, I think, tools, right, for those to be on their own path and journey to freedom. And so why don't you tell us a little about that? So you've had a very successful corporate career, and who knows what's in your future for that. Currently, you're an entrepreneur with Finally Free, and you kind of explained the genesis of that. And now you're bringing it into something tangible, right? That in addition to the amazing sweatshirt and comfy sweatpants that you have, that we all need at the airport and other areas as well, you have this book. And I started to read it myself. And so I just want to tell the audience a little bit about this project. Why is it an important extension of your brand? And then I want to introduce, because they have to read the book to really get it, I want to introduce the 5 foundations of freedom that you talk about in this book.
Yes. So I'll tell you, one of the reasons why Finally Free, the journal, is so important is because, I use this phrase often, that knowledge can either help you or it can harm you. And when you're on that journey of self-discovery, you start to learn so many different things about yourself, whether it's, okay, I look in the mirror and am I truly comfortable with who I see, right? I'm noticing the gray hairs are coming a little bit more rapid. And these are superficial things.
But they matter. Because they make an impact in how we see it. Do we accept it or do we criticize it?
Yeah. We internalize so many things about how we view ourselves. And so this was almost like a cry out for myself and getting organized with caring for myself. And so the first step of the, do you want me to jump right into
it? Yeah, go ahead. I'm sure everybody's like waiting to take notes.
Okay. So the first step, although it's like I kept it simple with the own it, accept it, reframe it, and celebrate it. Owning it was truly looking at my story, because of course in the book, I talk about creating a life map. And then the cool thing about the book is it's the size of it is so that it fits right into your bag, whether it's you've got a nice little cute bag, designer bag, your computer bag, or your, whatever you carry. And rather than it being something that's thick, I've included QR codes. And behind the QR codes is a video of me talking about how that part of the journey was helpful for me. And owning it is all about just truly owning all aspects of your story. I took time to create a life map. And throughout that time of creating the life map.
Really quick, I'm going to take you back for the audience. What is a life map?
Oh, good. Yeah. So a life map is really just a view of your life, significant moments in your life, good, bad, or however you define them, where they had significant meaning. So you can actually start a life map by either just choosing a period of time that had significance for you, and then really just going through this linear path and saying, what happened? You know, let's say, for instance, you decide to look at your childhood. And what are the things about your childhood that you either gave significance to or you didn't, but maybe you later had a conversation with a parent and they say to you, do you remember when such and such thing happened? And you're like, oh my God, I completely forgot about that. But it was something huge for the family, but somehow you blocked it out. And it's taking the time to think through what made me like block it out. So you write it down, right? You write it down. And then what else is important about you writing it down is thinking about how you responded to it. But one of the things that was helpful for me, even in thinking through the piece around losing my job, how I responded to it then versus going through this entire process of healing, how would I respond now?
That's a good and self-reflection question for anybody.
Yes, exactly. Because I think sometimes we can, you know, look for moments where people can validate our victimhood. Mm-hmm. But then that's where you move from owning it. So you own your story, you create this life map, you're able to look at it. One of the things I also talk about in the book is just record a video. A video of you talking about these moments in your life that had significance and also sharing it with someone. Sometimes we can do things for other people, but we rarely do things for ourselves. So the video is all for you. And then now you're in the space because by the time you get to that place in the life map where you're talking about it, you're starting to move into, okay, I accept that these things happen. I control what I can control, but then the rest of the things, you know, they happen. They didn't define me, but then some of those things did define me. So you're in that acceptance phase. Now is the part of reframing it. And I had to do a lot of reframing, whether it was thinking about things from childhood, when I was a teenager, how I responded to things when I became a young mom, and then even getting through college. I remember when I was in college, I was a young mom, and when I graduated from college, all I thought to myself was, I don't want to be a statistic. I need to make money. And because I know I need to make money, I'm going to take the first job that I get.
Sure. Money drives a lot of decisions for people.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And so, but what happened with that was, is, you know, back then I thought to myself, why would they, you know, offer me so little? I didn't know my value then, mm-hmm. Right? So I had to reframe it to even look at it differently through the lens of, it wasn't necessarily on them. If I show up to someone and I say, pay me X, you know, thousands of dollars, and they say no, and I take it anyway, is it their fault or is it mine for not seeing my value? And so I had to really look at things through the lens of, where did I see myself as a victim? And just for my own sanity, reframing it as me being victorious. So, lost my job, my role was eliminated, but I also now launched a mission-driven, purpose-filled company that I truly believe will be a global movement someday. So I had to reframe the narrative to really focus on the positive things of the direction that my life is going in. But the biggest part is what we talked about in the beginning, which is the celebrating it.
Yeah, I think you have so much to celebrate in this moment because of what you're not only finding for yourself, but what you're helping empower in others.
Oh, yes. And it's really just taking the time to say, I did it.
Yeah.
And the I did it could be you sat down and wrote an action plan, a freedom action plan for yourself. And today I'm going to do this for me to celebrate me. Next week, I'm going to do this to celebrate me. Mm-hmm. And in 6 months, I'm going to do X to celebrate me again because I'm worthy and I deserve it. So it's that connection that celebrating you really does validate your worthiness. Like, I'm worthy of being celebrated all the time by me.
Yeah,
I want my family and my friends to celebrate me, but I need to take the time to celebrate me.
Yes, you have to see it, because if you don't, even if your friends celebrate it, you won't fully believe it.
No.
Right? So the work does start with you. And sometimes it's great. You want your tribe around you. You want your communities around you. You want them to support it. And plenty of times they'll be that cheerleader, you know, that gets you back up when you're down. But for sustainability, you have to believe it in yourself.
You've got to believe it. You've really got to believe it. And you know, I go to therapy twice a week, and therapy has also been critical to this journey. And my therapist said to me, you've tasted freedom and now you'll be tested. So it's like knowing this is not something that happens. You do it. It's a one and done, but it's continuous. Whenever I might get a little shaken, I go back to my little freedom action plan, my little Bible. Freedom Bible is what I call it. My little journal is my freedom Bible. And now that I've tasted what it, you know, feels like, now I can always go back to try to get that feeling again, to make sure that I am staying connected to me. Because I do think in a world where so many things are happening, whether it's currently or just period, sometimes you can lose yourself in this process. And the freedom, you know, action plan or the freedom framework helps you stay connected to yourself.
I love that you bring that up. In my book, chapter 8, I talk about PTSD, because there's always going to be triggers, right? As you move forward, and you cannot beat yourself up about it. This is natural. There's going to be triggers. There's going to be, you know, things that just remind you, take you back. And it's how you build the tools, right? How you, whether it, you know, it's through this journal or other means, like how do you, to recognize it's going to happen, but remember and trust what you've learned and continue to move forward. And things are always going to test you. That's just real life. And so instead of judging it, accept it. I was on a retreat with a mutual friend we have too, Atoya Burleson. And it was an amazing retreat. We had like meditation and all this stuff, and it was totally calming. And I came back to my house and I crashed into my new dog walker's car. It's not funny, but this is what happened. As I get back from the retreat, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And the first thing somebody said to me was, maybe it is that retreat testing how you're going to react to this moment.
There you go.
And you know, I was like shockingly calm after that person said that. I was like, you know, I'm going to embrace that. And you're right.
Absolutely.
And I did take it with such calm, and I moved on with my day. But I took that as an opportunity, you know. I was like, yes, I just got the tools. It was a bump in my day, but I'm going to keep going on and it's going to be okay. Yep. So you never know the test.
You never know the test. And what you remember is how you responded to it. Like I was talking about that earlier, thinking about those moments, but it was really how you responded to it and where you begin to think, would I have responded that same way? But now coming out, had you not gone to that retreat, you probably would have been pissed at yourself.
Oh, and like beating myself up. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then you're like, you know what? Okay. That happened. I saw this thing one time that's, I can't remember his name, but this celebrity, he was talking about life is about like the ups and downs, mm-hmm. right? And almost like, if you're in the hospital, what's the symbol of death? It's a flat line. So if we don't have these moments where things are high and then the lows and the high again, we're not really living. Mm-hmm. You're just existing. Yeah. And so that was a perfect example of what you just described, because you were here.
Yes.
And then you drop here, and then you had to bring yourself back up to stabilize. So it was a perfect example to describe living.
Yeah, and I agree. It is going to be those things. That's how you it ensures you don't stay stagnant. I mean, don't be too erratic about it, but it is part of life's journey.
Yes.
Well, you are so I think well-read and experienced, and I want to go to some rapid fire that I think the audience could grasp onto. Number one, if someone looked at your bookshelf, what would be three must reads that they would see right now?
Must read number one is Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It by Kamal Rabakant. That was actually critical to my journey to self-discovery. The second would be The Memo by Minda Hart, because I had an opportunity to be an executive producer on the short film that's based on that particular book. And then the last one is my favorite of all time, which is a really short read called The Four Agreements by Miguel Ruiz, I believe his last name is. Don Miguel Ruiz. And Four Agreements is actually has been one of those books to recenter me. So I'm praying that the Freedom Journal will be that for people. And so yeah, so if you really quickly, Four Agreements, be impeccable with your word, make no assumptions, always do your best, and don't take things personal. That don't take things personal can change your
Oh
life.
yes, that between that and the you'll read Mel Robbins' Let Them Book, and then you'll be set.
Yes. I love that one. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Okay, good. All right. I think you've shared so many words of wisdom in this conversation, but what are your go-to words of wisdom when you're in those moments where you really need to find grounding again?
Trust the journey. Trust the journey. And because it's hard to trust the journey, it really is. Thank you, Lord. Right? It's really that. But after thank you, Lord, is trust the journey, Madupe. Trust the journey. Yes, that usually comes with a deep breath. Trust the journey. Just leave it at that.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes I think you could bring that into your practice in simpler ways and then build up to the bigger moments, because sometimes it's hard to embrace, like, the really hard moments. And I do the trust the journey in the littlest moments. Sometimes it's because I missed the train. And I was like, it's because I'm meant to be on the next one. No, just trusting
Exactly.
it.
There was a reason I missed that train. I don't know what it is. There was a reason I missed that train.
Exactly. Okay. And because I know you love music, and it doesn't have to be Spotify, so maybe you'll tell us your go-to to make your song list if it's Spotify or something else. But what are the songs that you go to for your realignment or to find Madupe's flow space?
It's interesting because it can be a playlist. It's usually going to be gospel music first and then hip hop. But there is a song by Donald Lawrence called Deliver Me with LeAndre Johnson. That's one of my most favorite songs and always just makes me feel amazing. Another song by Donald Lawrence is called Bless Me. That's another one. And then just for all of my hip hop heads out there, Nipsey Hussle, Grinding All My Life is my song. Oh my gosh, that's my song. Got me through some international travel, many, many days, many days.
Yeah, I love that. I asked that question because I think we all turn to music, but we sometimes underestimate the power it has to either ground us or set a tone or set your vibe. And so I'm gonna be jotting down all these recommendations, make sure they're on my playlist. Well, Madupe, we could go on forever, but we can't this time. So I know people will continue to follow you. You're active on Instagram, both with your brand Finally Free and personally, and continue to shine that light and shed those words of wisdom. It's been incredible to get to know you and intersect with you at this part of your journey, because I know it's only amazing things ahead. And I'm so thankful that you're a part of the Purpose Pivot. So thanks for that.
And thank you for seeing me, Melissa. I mean, you are such a bright light to this world. And thank you for all that you do to amplify our light. We need people like you.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for joining us for this conversation.